come to exalt the name of Jesus today. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer that when we use our voice to give him praise, to exalt him, hallelujah. For one thing, you can't complain while you're praising. Yeah. Amen? You can't worship and whine at the same time. So if you are exalting the name of Jesus, I believe it opens avenues in our heart and in our mind for God to just move and do the miraculous. Hallelujah. There's something that is refreshing about the presence of the Lord. There's something that is stirring about the presence of the Lord. I believe that when we are worshiping, that God anoints and moves and dispenses angels in our behalf. Amen? I was in the car yesterday, and I got a prayer request on my phone, and I was listening to some preaching on the radio. Dr. Lynn Howes was preaching, and I was listening to that, and I just turned off my radio, and I just began to pray, in tongues, and I just prayed for miles, just praying in the Holy Ghost and just letting God just speak and move on behalf of those who are in need. How many believe prayer is a powerful thing? The power of prayer. Prayer not only brings your petition before God, but how many know it changes your heart? There's something that happens in you when you pray. Prayer prepares your heart for God to move. And I believe that. Hallelujah. We've been talking about favor, a series we're doing for this month of December called Favored. How many believe that you are the favored of the Lord, that you have the Lord's favor? He said unto Mary, blessed art thou among women, blessed you are highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. Hallelujah. How many know Mary was just a young teenager? How many know God thinks teenagers are highly favored? Come on, somebody. Some of the most powerful people in the scriptures were teenagers, kids. You know, the power of a baby, sometimes we say, well, it's just a baby. No, it's not. It's the potential for them to change the world. It's potential for them to be anything that God has called them to be. Samuel was called from a young child. David was called from a young child. Esther was called from a young child. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Mary was called at a young age. Joseph was a young age, probably not as young as Mary. Hallelujah. You know, Zachariah and Elizabeth could have said, well, it's just a baby. I mean, no, he wasn't just any ordinary baby. But while the treasure and the potential that we have, that the scripture tells us when you train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I love Tina's testimony this morning. It's something we have sought God for quite some time. And there's just something that happens when God begins to turn the hearts of the children and begins to turn the hearts of the fathers and begin to bring healing and restoration. If you've ever experienced that in your life, you can say, thank you, Jesus, for restoration, healing, and renewal. Hallelujah. And sometimes it is in the waiting that we thank God for favor, and we look for favor even when favor doesn't look like favor. How many know favor's not always fair? Sometimes it doesn't look like favor. How many believe that this is what Mary was hoping for? She's just going about her business when the angel Gabriel shows up and she's like, who, me? How can this be? Seeing I know not a man, how in the world is God going to pull this out and make this happen through a teenager? Hallelujah. I love when I hear the sound of those kids go back through those doors because I know what potential they have. And I know that they are the seed of the next generation, that as God begins to pour into them today, we have no idea where the call of God might take them. Amen? And so we've been talking about the favor of the Lord. We talked about the favor with Zechariah and Elizabeth, and even in our silent nights, even in our silent lights, God shows up in favor. And when we can't speak it or articulate what God is doing. How many know Zechariah couldn't even speak? He couldn't even explain what God was doing. And you know, there's been times in my spirit that I've been stirred and say, I don't know how to articulate what I'm feeling, but there's something happening. Yeah. Amen? And sometimes he silences us and our voice is not heard so that his voice can be heard. And there had been a period of 400 years of silence from the time of Malachi until the time of John the Baptist. But when the angel Gabriel showed up, God was about to move. And I love that, because when Zechariah questions the angel, he said, how can this be? I am old, and my wife is well stricken in years. He doesn't call her old, calls himself old. And he's a polite gentleman and says, and she's well stricken in years, right? How can this be? And the response is, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, that stand at the command of the Most High. And when I'm sent on a mission, God doesn't change his mind. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the host of heaven that when it begins to speak, something is about to happen? That same angel shows up at a young girl's house named Mary to tell her that she's going to conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I want to talk to you today about another character in the story, Joseph. Joseph's probably one of the people in the story we don't hear as much about. Joseph plays a very big role, but yet in a lot of ways a silent role in the whole coming of the Messiah. Yeah. And the angel Gabriel doesn't show up at Joseph's house. Zechariah gets a visit from Gabriel. Mary gets a visit from Gabriel. Joseph gets a dream. Say, wow, that dream or nightmare. Yeah, call it what you want to call it, right? It was that pizza I ate for dinner. Make me dream such crazy things, right? Hallelujah. And so he gets a visitation from an angel. He doesn't get a visitation from an angel. He has a dream where an angel speaks to him about what is to come to pass. I want to talk a little bit about Joseph today, and I want to preach this on a little bit different way than I've ever preached it before. I want to talk about godly fathers. I want to talk about the power of a godly dad. I want to talk about men today. First of all, let me honor the men in the house for being here today. Your presence is necessary. Men or mentors. Do you know that the statistics of a child, if a child is the first one to start to attend a church, the statistics of the family attending church are very low. If the mom attends church, it increases to about 30-some percent of the family will follow. But if the dad attends church, it increases exponentially by the fact that the children will follow if the dad are committed to church. Dad, your presence matters. And I was thinking about Joseph as kind of in this whole story, kind of being the silent partner. We don't hear a whole lot about Joseph. We don't know a whole lot about him, except that we know that the child that Mary's to have is not Joseph's. They are engaged. They're a spouse to be married. They are making wedding plans. And what would happen a lot of times in the betrothal ceremony, they would, a lot of times, the dads arranged the betrothal ceremony. How many are glad that that custom went away? Yeah. Right? And so sometimes it was an arranged marriage. And they would make a commitment, and they would be connected, and it would be a betrothal as if they were to be husband and wife, but they would not come together to consummate the marriage until a time of preparation had happened. A lot of times that time of preparation would be where the husband or Joseph would have prepared a place for his bride. And then he would come and receive her. And so we see the story of Mary and Joseph, and they are betrothed, they're engaged, they're excited, they're ready to be married, and then an angel shows up. Anybody ever had God interrupt your plans? Yeah? A few of you? Every now and then, God just throws a wrench in it, doesn't he? Throws you a curveball. We call him Jehovah Sneaky. Every now and then, Jehovah Sneaky just shows up. And, you know, God just changes your direction. And I've had some times, and I've shared with you before, I've had some times in my life where literally God changed my plans. And I thought, well, this is kind of weird, only to find out God had something else in mind, and God had something else in order for me. And so sometimes God steps into our plans, and he gives direction. And I want to talk about obedience today and faithfulness. And I want to talk about and honor our fathers. I honor my husband today for being a man of God and for serving in this house. He doesn't like to be called pastor. He doesn't assume the role of pastor, but he's very much a part of this house. His handiwork is everywhere, and he is the rock that ties us all together. He is what keeps me sane and keeps me in line, and so I honor him as the man of the house today and for the heart that he's had for this work and this ministry. Even before we ever knew that we would be ministering in this capacity, he came here because his dad had a heart to serve this house, and he just came to help his dad. And in the midst of that, he got a bride, and all of that worked out for his good, so he's a lucky man. But anyway, amen. But I think I've shared this story here before, and I'll share it real quickly again. But when Dan and I were dating, and we didn't have the church here yet, we were going to Hennis Fox's church down on Route 9, and we were dating, and thinking about marriage, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Lynn spoke one night down at Hennis Fox's church, and he called me up to prophesy to us, and he called us both up to prophesy, I thought, to me. And he looks at Dan, and he said, if you choose this one, be prepared to carry her bags. And that was the prophecy he gave us that night. And I thought, well, that, you know, I kind of knew that. That's no big deal to me or whatever. And so he drove me home from that night, from church that night. He gave me a kiss, and he said, I don't think I can do that. I have other plans. That's not what I had in mind for my life. And I said, oh, well, okay. Thanks, Lynn. Things was going good till Lynn got involved, you know. Right? And so I went to bed, and I was upset, you know, and I thought, well, you know, okay, let's see where this goes. And so he called me the next morning. He said, I changed my mind. And so he, to this day, we laugh and joke about, he carries my bags every morning to my car for me. And if I have a call, or I have to travel, or I have ministry to do, he sees to it, he carries my bags and makes it happen that I can fulfill the ministry that God has called us to do. There's something important about a relationship of godly men. And I want to talk about Joseph a little bit today, because the call on Mary's life was a big one. This is big. This is real big. Because first of all, nobody's going to believe her. Second of all, Joseph has several decisions to make. Let me read the scripture to you before we talk about it. And I want to go in Matthew 1, and I want to just talk about, because in Matthew, it is the genealogy of Joseph. It is the lineage of Joseph, who we know that Jesus is not born out of the lineage of Joseph, but he was the seed of David. But so was Mary. And so we see the lineage in there, and we see the promise of God from father to father to father to father to father. Right? And it says in Matthew chapter 1, I'm reading this out of the Amplified, but it says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son or descendant of David, the son descendant of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah, and his brothers, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. How many know Tamar makes it into the lineage of Jesus, and she has a reputation? She wasn't your little church girl. Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Abinadab. Abinadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. I mean, Rahab had a little history. Not a church girl. She's got a story. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. I mean, Ruth wasn't a church girl either. She was a Moabite. The Obed, and Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba. Also, not a good connection. Not so much for Bathsheba, but for David, who had been the wife of Uriah. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah, Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14, from David to the Babylonian deportation exile, 14 generations from the Babylonian deportation to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her promised husband, being a just and righteous man and not wanting to expose her publicly to shame, planned to send her away and divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David. And I think that's important. He reminds him who he is. Because out of the line of David would come the Messiah. Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. All this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Then Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary to his home as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she had given birth to a son, her firstborn child, and he named him Jesus. The Lord is salvation. So God, the angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, son of David. Number one, remember what the prophecy is of Isaiah. Now, they would not have been ignorant to the scriptures. They would have known the scriptures, and they would have known the prophecy was to come. They just didn't know who drew the lucky straw, right? Amen. And so while he is pondering, when he finds out that Mary's with child, and while he's pondering what he should do, an angel speaks to him and says, don't be afraid, fear not. God speaks to Zechariah, fear not. He speaks to Mary, fear not. He speaks to Joseph, fear not. He speaks to the shepherds, fear not. And he said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, for this thing which conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph has a decision to make. He has every right to put her away and not to marry her, which would probably leave her without a spouse, possibly for her lifetime, because of the scandal. He could, if he really wanted to, from the book of Deuteronomy, he could bring her before the council and have her stoned because of her so-called unfaithfulness. Or he can just privately give her a writing of divorce and let her go her way. But he knows that the angel appears to him and says, don't be afraid, just obey. Can I tell you today, you are not responsible for the outcome. You are only responsible for the obedience. We don't a lot of times talk about obedience in these days, but how many know Jesus said, and the scripture says, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. What he's saying is, I don't need your offerings and your sacrifices. Your obedience to me is an offering. It is a savor unto me when you obey, when you're obedient to the things of the Lord. You know, I was thinking yesterday as I was going up the road, and as again, I was listening to Lynn preach and share some things, and the Lord began to speak to me some things that to do. Got some thoughts, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that because I'm going to sow some seed. I'm going to put some seed in some places that I know there's a need. I'm going to pick up a few things, and I'm going to, because if there's a blessing out there that I can sow into, I want a part of it. Amen? And you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you in here can say that, you know, God laid somebody on your heart, or God put somebody on your heart, and you ministered or met a need and said, you know what, I'm going to give. If I don't have it to give, I'm going to give. Because I know and I trust the promises of God that he will give back to me. Miss Sherry said it this morning, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yeah. Hallelujah, that God will give back to you. I'm going to tell you, there have been times we didn't hardly have money to put in an offering. But we gave faithfully. And God has never failed us one time. God's provision has always been there. When you obey God and do what he put on your heart, and you're like, sometimes I don't know if this is God speaking to me or not. Well, let me just tell you this. Is it profitable? Is it profitable? Will it bring blessing? Will it do good to somebody? If it does, go for it. What can it hurt? And if it's something that's not going to bring favor or blessing, then maybe it's not God speaking it to you. Amen? He's not going to send you to rebuke. He's going to send you to bless, to sow seed. And I like that seed where you just kind of sneak a little seed in there and throw some seed over here and put some seed over there, and you just never know where it might come back to you from. Hallelujah. And so Joseph is pondering these things. What do I do? And he chooses to be an honorable man, and he chooses to take her as his wife, and he takes her to his house, and he honors the covenant until the time that she brings forth a child. How would you like to be Jesus's dad? How would you like to be Jesus's younger siblings? Jesus never did that. Jesus never acted like that. Jesus, 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 right? I always had to live under Andy's shadow, so I know what that's like, you know, to be that younger child, right? Now we know he called Joseph to be the priest of that house. Although the calling was really for Mary to bring forth in the birth, the call, and the purpose, how many know it took Joseph to be the priest of that house to be obedient to her call, because her call was more important than his agenda? Come on, somebody, you got to understand that sometimes the call of God on your family is bigger than your agenda. That when you realize this ain't about me, it ain't about what I want to accomplish, but when God's got a call on your life, it's going to take some sacrifice, it's going to take some obedience, and it's going to take some connection. Dan and I learned a long time ago, if we're going to survive this thing called life with the demands that's on us, we're going to have to work together. Amen? We're going to have to be in this thing. We have to support each other. I'm going to have to support his business adventures. He's going to have to support my calling in Christ. And we're going to have to work together. Do you know that his hands fit in the dish sink? I say, honey, you look good in apron. But you know what? I can also take out the trash. I know how to stack wood, I know how to mow the grass. We do things together. We work together. Because the calling on us involves us both, right? Yeah. And so he is not only the priest of the house, but he is the protector and the provider. Joseph doesn't just have one dream, he has four dreams. And every time he responds to the dream, I want to tell you men in here today, don't quit dreaming. Because there are dreams that just because you might be connected in ministry, it doesn't mean your dreams can't be fulfilled as well. How many know God fulfilled the desire of both of our hearts because we were willing to step up and say, God, just one step at a time, right? How many of you can say today, I'm right where I thought I would be 40 years ago or 30 years ago or anybody? Because God has a sense of humor, right? God has a sense of humor. And he, you know, our life is such an intricate tapestry and weaving of his purpose and his will in our lives. Whether it be a job, whether it be a talent. I was thinking today, or yesterday, I was just pondering some things, and I felt like the Lord said to me, I cannot open the next door until you let me close the one that is there. And you know, sometimes we want God to open the next door, but we're kicking and screaming and trying to hold on to what we have. When God says, I'll show you favor in this, because favor doesn't always look like favor. And I've told so many people lately, I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what your diagnosis looks like. I don't care what your job situation looks like. Because when you think that this is making a wrong turn, it might be just God taking a right turn and bringing you into a place of favor and bringing you in a place of a better job, a better opportunity, a better house, a better employment, a better car, whatever it is. Because if you'll trust God in the small things, he'll show up in the big things. Hallelujah. I was thinking even that in tithing. You know, sometimes when you make little, the tithe check is little, right? I can remember the first winter we got married. I'm telling stories today, but the first winter we got married, we didn't have any insulation in our ceiling in our house yet. So it was cold in there. We had a warm morning stove, and we would sleep in the living room on the couches because it was too cold in the back of the house. It was romantic, yeah. And so it was a warm morning stove. So if you understand, they have a jacket like over top of the actual heat part of the stove. So I got the bright idea to lay my bathrobe, my one and only bathrobe, on the warm morning stove to warm it up and burn a hole in my one and only bathrobe. I don't recommend that. Because there were times that he worked construction and it was a bad winter. Leave it to us to get married on a bad winter, right? And it was a bad winter. We made $70 a week. The house payment was $215.90. Still remember it. $70 times four don't get you very far, right? And the tithe check was $7. But what happens is that we get more blessed and more increase and better funding, that check gets bigger, right? It gets a little bit harder to write because there's a few more zeros behind the number, right? But I want to tell you something. One of the greatest things we discovered is giving and sowing seed. And we are nothing without him. We are nothing outside of the blessings of the Lord who maketh a man rich and addeth no sorrow, right? Because we learn really quick that richness doesn't have a thing to do with your bank account. It doesn't have a thing to do with your bank account, right? It's all about the attitude of your mind, of your heart, and those who you have with you is your greatest treasure, greatest treasure. So in Matthew chapter 2 and 13, God speaks to him in a dream and says, after the scholars or the wise men were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him. Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had prophesied. I called my son out of Egypt. Later, when Herod died, God's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Up, take the child and his mother, return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead. Joseph obeyed. He got up. He took the child and his mother and re-entered Israel. When he heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father, Herod, as king in Judea, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in a dream to go to the hills of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in the village of Nazareth. This move was a fulfillment of the prophetic words, "He shall be called a Nazarene." How many know Joseph was the protector, the provider, and the one who obeyed God to see to it that the promise that God had given and that thing that he had birthed in Mary, Joseph's responsibility was to see to it that that baby was protected, that that baby was cared for, and that baby was provided for. And how many know every step of the way, God began to direct Joseph and say, "Joseph, this is what I want you to do." He had to learn to trust the dream. And how many know there are Herods out there that want to kill your dream? They want to kill your baby. They want to kill those things that God wants to birth in you. But if you'll stay in tune with God is saying, God will guide and direct your steps. I believe God will direct your steps in everyday things. Yeah. Amen? I'll share this real quick. I went up the other evening to Winchester. I was going to get my nails done, and then I was going to go over to the store while I was up there. And he said, "You're going to go to the store?" And I said, "Well, yeah, we kind of need some things." And he said, "Well, okay, unless the Lord speaks to you not to." And I said, "Okay." I don't know why the Lord would speak to me not to go to the grocery store, but okay, whatever. Just laughed, and we went about our way. He laughed, I laughed. I'm going up the road, and I'm driving, and a car pulls up beside of me. Has the window down. There's a guy in there with a hood. And he looks over at me and he gives me this crazy grin. I was like, I think I know this guy. So I speed up a little bit. He speeds up with me. I slow down. He slows down with me. I speed up. He speeds up with me. I'm like, okay, this is not my imagination. So I started to pray. And so I'm thinking, okay, now what do I need to do here? Because, you know, obviously this guy is tagging me. He's laughing. He's looking at me out the window. And so there was a bus that comes up. So I tuck myself in behind the bus. So I thought, I'm going to stay with this bus. But I'm going to make sure that wherever I go to, I'm going to be, you know, I'll get out my phone. I'm going to call 911, whatever I got to do. And so finally, I tuck in behind this bus. And the guy pulls over and he goes back and he goes, crosses over the interstate and he goes back. So I go on up and I get my nails done and I come back out and I said, I went to get in my car and thought about going to the grocery store unless the Lord spoke to me not to. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go home. Because I don't know where that guy went when he turned around. He could have turned around, went up to the next exit, followed me back in, and sat in a dark parking lot for all I know, and followed me to the grocery store. And the Lord said to me, and the Lord reminded me, and he said, unless the Lord tells you not to. I want to tell you that there are times when the Holy Spirit will speak to you, that you better listen. And there have been times when he's just spoke to me and said, just no, you're not going to the store today. There's nothing you can't live without. Go home. But had he not said that to me, I might not even have thought that. And it, you know, might have been seem a simple revelation, but I'm going to tell you, it pays to obey. And it pays you to be in tune with what the Lord is saying to you. And there's times the Lord has quickened in my spirit. We've pulled into a place, and Dan said, this don't feel right to me. I said, it don't feel right to me either. Move on. Going on down the road, you know. And we'll pull in, and we're going down the road, or go to stop at a rest area. And I'm like, nope, we're not going there. Or, you know, God speak to me. I told you one day I was going to go shopping for the day. I had the day cleared. And for whatever reason, I thought, you know, I'm not. I'm just going home. And little did I know that the neighbor was going to call me and needed me there. Their son was dying, and had I went to Winchester, I would not have made it back in time, because I barely walked into the room with him, and I prayed, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me speak in this situation. I didn't know him real well. I walked in. I prayed the prayer with their son. It was a matter of moments that he passed, and the peace of God came in that house. But had I gone to Winchester, I would not have made it in time. I would love to tell you this morning that I always know the voice of God and always heed it. And maybe we don't always do it. There's times I've had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I think I missed an opportunity. Right? But there's times when you hear that nudging of the Spirit, or God begins to nudge you, or you don't feel something that sets right in your spirit, it may just be God speaking to you saying, get up out of this place and get this baby into Egypt, because your responsibility right now is to raise this baby to accomplish everything that God has destined for it to do. Never underestimate the power of a dad, whether they're children you birthed or didn't birth. How many know if you were a father figure, there is something powerful in the affirmation of a dad? The scripture tells us that when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, that the heavens opened and his father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I heard something this morning that we know that in when Jesus begins his ministry, there's no mention of Jesus's father being involved in his earthly ministry, and that he would have been passed by the time that Jesus was crucified, because he entrusted his mother to the care of John the disciple. And so that probably his dad would have been deceased by this time, and the oldest son's responsibility was to stay in the house and take care of his mother until the age of 30. And then Jesus began his ministry. And so the scripture says that when John baptized him, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We don't have any record of any miracles. Jesus hasn't turned any water into wine. He hasn't opened any blind eyes. He hasn't preached any great sermons. He hasn't fed the multitude. But his father said, this is my son. That's my boy in whom I am well pleased. I want to tell you, the affirmation of a father is one of the most powerful things that you can give to your kids. When you can correct them in ways that affirms them and not defeats them. Amen. You can tell them they're stupid and dumb and careless and reckless, or you can say you're too good of a child to act like that. I mean, there are ways, even in correction, that we can affirm who they are and the power of the seed of God that's in them. If ever there is a need in this day, it is for fathers to stand up and be heads of their house and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? And so he dreams the dream, he takes them, he provides for them, and he guarded, although she was the carrier of the promise, Joseph guarded the call on her life. And our role is to see to it that the call on our family's life is fulfilled. That's our purpose. 1 Corinthians 4 through 17 in the Message Bible says, I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold to shame you. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you, and I want you to grow up well, not spoiled. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. I'm not, asking you to do anything I'm not already doing myself. This is why I sent Timothy to you earlier. He is also my dear son and true to the master. He will refresh your memory on the instructions I regularly give all the churches on the way of Christ. How many, Paul is talking about, we have a lot of instructors, but we don't have a lot of fathers. How many know there's a difference in an instructor and a father? An instructor will tell you what to do or tell you how to do it, but a father can show you and help you accomplish it, right? And so he said, And how many know that Paul was Timothy's spiritual father? Because when we talk about, he said, I want to stir up the gifts in you, Timothy, by the laying on of my hands that was sown in you by your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. But it never talks about a father for Timothy. Paul was his spiritual father. You might not have had that father in the natural, but you know that there are spiritual fathers and that God is our father. And he doesn't want to scold you. He wants to tell you what he loves about you. He wants to empower you. He wants to teach you. He wants to make those things happen in your life that you desire. Right? Those things that you desire. It was his dad who takes him to the temple, as was their custom, and trains him in the way of the temple. Hallelujah. Affirmation of a father will always empower a son to do what they've been called to do. A Joseph who will say, I'll obey and trust. Outcome is not my responsibility. Obedience is. Outcome is his responsibility, right? Trust and obedience. God, I trust you in the process. I trust you because I know that I'm favored. I know what you've spoken. I know what you're calling me to. And my purpose is to see to it, whether it's my calling or whether it's to facilitate someone else's calling to see to it that they accomplished all that God called them to do. Amen? I mean, no, there we are mothers and fathers even in the church. Some of the most powerful voices in my life were not great men and women of God who stood behind a pulpit, but people like Wilda, amen. Lee Eccles, some of those kind of people who would get behind you. Lee Eccles, most of you don't know him. He did jail ministry for years. He would come up to me after church, and he wanted to say something to me, and he'd just cry and shake his hand and walk out. He never could voice what he wanted to say, but he was a man of God, and I honored him as a father and as a man of God. And there have been many men, mentors in my life and women, and I want to close with this. My dad used to take us all on a shopping trip every year for Christmas. He would take all of his daughters and all of his daughter-in-laws, and he would take us to dinner, and then he would take us shopping, and then he'd go sit on the bench at Walmart and wait for somebody to come along. He could tell them about Jesus, right? But the last time we took him on a shopping trip, he was got to the point where he really couldn't do the walking and stuff. He said, I'm just going to sit in the van. I said, Dad, I don't want you to sit in the van. It's cold. He said, no, I'll be fine. Left the van running. And so I did a little bit of shopping. I went back out, and I sat in the van with him because I didn't want him to sit there by himself, and I didn't want him to get cold. And I sat in the van with him, and he said to me in the van, he said, Lisa, I'm proud of you for where you've come and what you're doing. And I just want you to know, I want to tell you tonight, I'm proud of you for where you've taken the church. And that was probably 12 years ago. We've pastored now, senior pastors, for 15 years. That statement from his mouth has kept me going many times. Because a father took the time to say, what you're doing matters. My dad wasn't probably the greatest preacher of all time, but he was a great man. And he knew that the gifting wasn't necessarily his, but his call was to facilitate the call that has been on his family and on his church and on his children. And he understood that, and he did that. You might think that's little. You might think that's small. You might think it doesn't matter. When them kids are screaming in church and they're under the pews and they've got marshmallows everywhere and you don't think they're listening, and you don't think it matters, or you spent the whole time sitting in the nursery and didn't get to hear anything anyway, bring them anyway. Yeah. Bring them anyway. You think it doesn't matter. You think they're sleeping on the pew. You think they're sitting. One of the reasons we have worship, we have our kids in with us for worship is because they need to know that worship is their greatest weapon before they get to be adults. They need to understand the moving of the Spirit. They need to know what it is, what the Word says. Not wait till you're adult and then come into the house and not know what happened here for 18 years, right? They know and can sense the move of the Spirit. And when our kids come back in and come to the altar and say, "Nana, that's my favorite part." Don't take it lightly what you input and pour into the life of a child. You might feel like Joseph. How is this all going to work out? But I want to tell you, God has you in the palm of his hand. And he will fulfill his purpose and his destiny in you. Go ahead and stand with me. Because you have favor with God. The scripture said, and Jesus had favor with God and man. I believe you can have favor with man. But if you're going to have favor with God is going to trump all of that. Amen? So regardless of what you are looking at in this season, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what it looks at, I want you to just pray and say, "Lord, just show me your favor in the midst of this. That diagnosis was not what I thought, but I'm going to look for your favor. Hallelujah. That job was not what I thought, but I'm going to look for your favor. Hallelujah. That relationship was not what I thought, but I'm going to look for your favor. Hallelujah. And until I see your fulfillment, I'm just going to obey and trust your purpose, that you will facilitate what you have called and purposed in my life. Hallelujah. At Best Sing Something this morning, wherever that sermon lands you, I just want you to have some time with the Lord. You just talk with the Lord today. Hallelujah. Whatever God has placed on your heart, you begin to pray and you begin to sow toward that thing and you begin to speak to that person and you begin to mend some ways or you begin to sow words of kindness in patches that looks unfruitful. And watch God bring increase. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you want special prayer, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to come forward and receive him, we would love to pray with you. Hallelujah. If you want special prayer, we would love to pray with you. Hallelujah. As Beth begins to sing, just let him saturate your heart and your mind. And hallelujah. Hallelujah.